This is a Sample Access podcast. My name is Boyega, and I'm here with Nelson. The essence of this podcast is to help you make sense of how music cuts across influences, how artists pick influences from one another, and how music is recreated, basically. So Nelson will give us some kind of introduction into the idea behind sampling. We'll talk a lot about that, and of course we'll introduce you to what this podcast is about. It's the maiden episode, and it feels very good, like the start of another journey. We hope you will join us on this very beautiful journey, because it's very interesting to find out that people can pick influences from anything. You could be in Afropop and then listen to jazz music, listen to highlife music. In fact, there is a way everything comes together at the end of the day. Genres have a way they intercept. It could be rock, reggae, hip-hop, it could be Afrobeat, Afrofusion. There is a lot of, in fact, the very essence of what is now called Afrobeats and Afrofusion is nothing that existed before. It's just African beats or African sounds finding a way to merge into the Western world through hip-hop or rock or all kinds of, you know, influences. And there was this interview I was watching, Burna Boy on the Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and he tried to make sense of what the genre called Afrofusion is. And one of the things he said was, like, imagine Afrobeats as the flour, the dough that you use to make pizza, and you can have all kinds of flavor on that dough, on that flour. It could be hip-hop pepperoni, it could be dance hall.
Hip-hop pepperoni.
Yeah, it could be dance hall. You could have all kinds of things. And then we see that playing out. But of course, let's not get too busy here. We're trying to have fun and try
that's the basic reason why we're here. All right, my name is Nelson. Yeah, just to introduce myself. So we're going to be talking about sampling. First things first, sampling has been a word that has been used for a very long time. We're talking about 40 to 50 years. But the first time that we actually got the real idea behind sampling was in 1979, when Sugar Hill Band did the song Rapper's Delight.
Are you saying that was the very first attempt?
No, that wasn't the first attempt, of course. But I'm saying, like,
this is in the context of hip-hop.
Yeah, in terms of hip-hop. Because I think when we talk about sampling, there's no way we don't talk about hip-hop. So it's like we talking about the fact that there's always been, like, an idea of sampling. From days of Big Mama Thornton, like, doing a song. There's this Ain't Nothing But A Hound Dog that was done very long time ago, and Elvis Presley redid the song, so which we call covers now. But now sampling is different, because sampling is taking a portion of the song and, you know, looping it over and over again. Now the portion of the song might be a bar of the song, or medley, or maybe a progression or something. Because there's, like, first and foremost, there's, like, limited number of chords, limited number of musical, like, scores you can actually play with. So basically every sound is almost the same thing, just different approaches to it. So that's the idea of sampling.
Is hip-hop the most, is hip-hop the genre with the most types of sampling?
Yes, hip-hop has been the one to benefit the most from sampling, due to the fact that the very first song was a sample, and then as it has progressed, it got to a time where as all hip-hop songs, you needed to have a sample for it to be called hip-hop. So basically hip-hop has, for the past 40 years, I think hip-hop is the biggest genre for the past 40 years. We need to say the truth.
The biggest
genre,
And they is it still the biggest globally?
I think there's pop, there's like EDM.
Pop is like the biggest.
And pop and EDM, but then you still, like, hip-hop has actually stood the test of time, because I remember there was a
still
time
available.
Yeah, there was a time
even
they said,
though it's now mumble rap.
Yeah, there was a time they said hip-hop was not going to last for like 10 to 15 years. Hip-hop was supposed to be like disco and just spend a decade and that's it.
And go.
I mean, look at 40 years counting and it's still big. So basically,
speaking of timely music or timeless music, if you like, Afrobeats is everywhere now.
Yeah.
It's everybody's jumping on it. It's I was speaking with a friend recently and we talked about how Beyonce on a song with Shatta Wale was able to sound like a regular Nigerian singer.
That was beautiful.
In my head, I just calculated that she must have listened to a lot of them women and men who make this kind of music to be able to sound like King Goredi. Like, she was sounding like a Nigerian woman.
I think.
And I'm bringing that to the point that Afrobeats is like wildfire now. Everywhere in the world, people want to jump on that sound. is it the same thing that happened with hip-hop taking over the world? And I mean, we have not seen the last of Afrobeat. Are we seeing it bigger?
Yeah, I think Afrobeat is going to be bigger because a lot of people are actually like tuning in to the sound now more than it used to be before. In fact, Afrobeat is like a movement now. It's not just a particular sound. Yeah. It's like you Afrobeat's kind of like, you know, it's like you're saying you tune in with Afrobeat. You're like a MLK, or maybe I'm talking too much, but like you know, you're like, okay, you're a big mover. You're moving something. You are doing. It's like a movement. You're pushing something out there. So everybody wants to jump on Afrobeat right now. If Beyonce, that is looked at as the mama of the music industry, apparently, can actually do something like that, obviously, you know, that more acts, and it has been happening for a very long time. You have to say, people like Jay-Z, Nas, these guys in hip hop and other musicians, they have been trying to, you know, get into the African vibe, you know, once in a while. I remember,
now, I feel that comes from the curiosity of the hip hop producers and hip hop artists, the way they are. There is a song by J. Cole, Let Nas Down, where this was 20 whatever. This is okay. Long before Wizkid became Wizkid.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking 2010, 2012. Wizkid already there, but not this big.
Yeah.
J. Cole, I don't know who produced that song, sampled a fella's song. You shall be hearing Migbo.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere in that beat.
I remember that sound.
And
very
then
very.
there was the horn by fella on that song by J. Cole. So this is, I feel, when you talk about hip hop guys, Jay-Z, Nas trying to, I feel you were trying to say they have been onto African music some type of way.
Yeah, yeah.
Reminds me of J Electronica.
Yeah.
With the way he samples African stories with his spirituality.
Yeah.
And Jidenna in that direction, some type. I feel they are doing that as a way to explore all kinds of sounds. Not because they particularly wanted to explore Afrobeat. I don't know if you get my point.
Yeah, I get you, I get
you. So I feel they may have gone to Spanish sounds, they may have gone to Caribbean sounds, like a song by J. Cole featuring Trey Songz called Can't Get Enough. There is this song.
Yeah, Caribbean sounds.
So I feel in the past, before this new Afrobeat wave, whatever hip-hop guys have tried to do with African music is out of their curiosity to get new sounds, not because they particularly wanted to jump on Afrobeat.
Yeah, true. I think that's the right way to put it. But also, I need to point out something. This doesn't just happen to artists abroad. If you want to be a great artist or a great producer, there is a need for you to listen to wide range of music.
Yeah.
Like, you have to listen to everything. You would hear people like, you know, Olamide that we have here, even though he's indigenous, or an indigenous Yoruba rapper, would say, he would listen to people like Whitney Houston, listen to jazz, listen to sounds that, you know, that are unheard of, sounds that you probably do not know, and they will bring these sounds together because there's really no original music anymore. It's just approach
recycling
to music that is different, and that's why sampling is such a big deal, you know, right now. I remember when I saw a documentary that says that you can't do songs like Paul Boutique, that's by Beastie Boys again, because the sampling was so much. Right now, you might need to like get more lawyers to, you know, license those songs than
to
now.
Help you.
So yeah, so basically right now we're going to be doing this podcast, and this is what you should expect from this podcast. We're going to be telling you about older songs that were sampled by new songs, and we'll be able to play some clips for you so as you can listen to the similarities and how beautiful the sound is being approached differently. We have lots of amazing, and the thing is, it's never ending really, because I know tomorrow or right now as we're talking right
someone is sampling a song right now.
That's the beautiful thing about music.
So that's that about that, but let's just talk briefly about what the process of sampling is like. I mean, it starts with an idea from someone who listens to a song, and then they try to make sense of it. They get to a producer. Sometimes it might be the producer, but from your research, from what you know, how do you explain the concept of sampling?
All right. As I said earlier, it's like taking a portion of a song and then
recreating it.
Like, it's reinvention, really. Although some people actually take these songs that the way they sounded before and just put something different on it, like maybe rap different or talk different, and they allow the original song do all the work for them.
Yeah.
And that's like a certain way of sampling. But the beautiful part for me is when you take an original word, maybe a word or like a medley or melody of a song, and you redo it and it sounds completely different.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. That's proper sampling. You could take a very cool song, or maybe a song that will sound,
and make it fast.
Or yeah, or sped up or sped down, or you know, like this particular song that I can remember now by Wu-Tang Clan. I don't know if a lot of people actually listen to Wu-Tang Clan, but there's this particular song that he took a Gladys Knight song, that's The Way We Were, and they redid it in All Can Be Simple Now. I think that's the name of the song. Mm. That song, in the original song, sounds like a beautiful song, you know, yeah, love song. But in the other song, it sounded so dark.
Yeah.
You get that element that kind of like changes the flow of the sound. Yeah. That's the beauty of sampling for
Another
me.
Example of that is, there's a song by Mode 9 called, I can't recall the title, it's from the Monument album. I think that's his latest album, 2018-2019 album. He picked Bob Marley, I Wanna Love You, that song, and Treat You Right. He just picked I Wanna Love You, and then there was this re-looping.
Yeah.
I think I'll have to play that song for you, or we'll have it on schedule to review sometime.
Okay.
But the way he did it is that the spirit of I Wanna Love You song was cool by Bob Marley, but when Mode 9 remade that song, you need to hear the kinds of bad blues
happening
on that song. So it changed the spirit of the song in a way, and EDM people do this a lot. Listen to Hello by Adele.
Yeah.
That was a soft song, but when you listen to EDM guys, they will just make fast beats, hard kicks, and then it becomes a dance song. So let's get to the party. We just had to do all of that to introduce you to what this podcast is about. We have two songs to attend to today. We'll get to the first one shortly. The song that was sampled is by someone I truly love. Her music, she's so soulful, Sonja Spence. I actually thought she was American until recently that she's Jamaican, right?
Yeah, Jamaican.
And she's this reggae soul artist, if I'm
yeah,
right.
I think you can say more of, she sang mostly about love. Album I can remember right now from Sonja Spence, which was a very powerful album, is Pure Love.
Mm.
Now Pure Love had a lot, there was like, there's Pure Love, there's Jet Plane, there is The Way I Love, there is
All Things
How
About
to
Love.
Every,
and so, even Jet Plane was about traveling and living your love.
Yeah.
So that song, by the way, I was listening to Sonja Spence recently, and it connected to me that she was probably the Johnny Aiko of a generation. Johnny Aiko sings All Things Love.
True.
Same with this woman, Sonja Spence. And there's a short story I like. By the way, we are going to talk about how El Didi Don, Nigerian rapper and singer, now retired from music, so to speak, sampled a song by Sonja Spence. Sonja Spence, my first listen, the first time I ever listened to Sonja Spence was by my mom. I was like 3 years old or 4 years old, and that was a song, Jet Plane.
Oh wow.
Jet Plane, whenever my mom had to travel, oh, she was leaving.
Yeah.
She would sing that song, and somehow she got the tape.
Wow.
This was when we had cassettes.
Yeah.
She would play, I've forgotten the chorus. Love me like you never let me go.
That's, Jet Plane is actually a very beautiful song.
I'm leaving on a jet plane.
I don't know when I'll be back again.
So whenever she
again.
Sings that, we as the kids, I was like 4 years old, we'll sing as well. That was me as a young person. So when I heard El Didi Don, that song, it immediately connected, which is one thing that samples do.
Yeah,
it
true.
It brings back all those old memories.
Sometimes, for example, like as I said earlier, like people like LD needed to listen to songs from all kinds of genres.
Yeah.
I'm sure LD probably listened to that song as well. Yeah, because we need to say the truth, Sonja Spence was actually big in the 80s for Nigerians, like especially Nigerians that were really into music, that would listen to all kinds of music. I know my dad too listened to a couple of Sonja Spence's songs, you know. I think Pure Love is like the biggest one, because I remember the first time, after a very long time, I think you were the one that played Pure Love, I was here, and the moment I heard the song,
I love Pure Love.
You know, there's this thing that happens when you, like, you know, you have heard the song for a very long time, and then the moment I just heard that beginning part,
there's
that
a crazy beginning part was nostalgia
alone was like, yo, I know this song. So basically, like, That kind of like does the same with LD's song as well. Anybody that is, like, you know, maybe vast in terms of listening to music will probably say LD did a wonderful job. And the fact that LD just picked a line.
It was just a line.
It's just a line.
And then he changed it from,
and he made this chorus,
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Change it to, I'm leaving. I'm off to Yankee.
Yeah, I don't know when.
Meanwhile, there's a story started.
Yeah,
let's, I wish we could get to a bit of that, but let's exhaust the topic of sampling.
Yes.
What genres switch places from this sample?
All right, in this sample now, we have a reggae song, a soulful reggae song, switching to Afro pop, because that's what I'm going to call it then. Or should we say Afro hip hop.
That's some kind of hip hop because they rap the entire song.
All right, okay, let's call it Afro hip hop. Okay, Afro hip hop is the word. I think LD,
even though at that time they probably didn't have any name.
For LD would want to say it's Afro hip hop. I think so. Afro hip hop. So that's like, and that's the first song. Let's just put that out there. The song Sonya Spence's Jet Plane was done in the year 1982,
okay.
And it was released off the album called Pure Love. So now we have a song from 1982 redone in 2005.
Yeah.
By LD, I'm leaving. Let's just say 30.
Almost 20.
Yeah, almost, over 20 years
over
actually.
20 years.
Like 23 years, in fact.
23 years.
23 years. So 23 years difference, and there's a new sound entirely.
Yeah.
And it takes a different approach, and it sounds almost completely different. Only if you are very, you are very familiar with the song, mm-hmm. then you'll be able to say, oh yeah, I do know the song.
And I feel we should say at the same time that it's just one line that was picked.
Yeah, just one line. Yeah. So it's not like he sampled, it's not a cover. He just did an entire line, yeah. And he did it well, and he made it his chorus.
Yeah.
So it kind of like held the song together.
Meanwhile, the story to that song, LD Leaving, I think, because I listened to that album and the one after it, Return of the King.
Yeah, Return of the King was the album I'm Leaving was coming from, 2005.
You would hear almost in a number of tracks on the album LD mentioning that he was just saying I have to leave Nigeria,
going
back to Yankee.
Yeah,
he kept mentioning it back to back, and I feel LD, again, we have to give him props from what he did in terms of getting together tribesmen.
Yeah,
they made solid
songs.
They were very solid,
and their production quality for their early stages was actually really good, because then, as at that time, you wouldn't hear like people that were very crisp in terms of production, you know, everything is just, you know, put together, I'm just jammer, just jam, may make sense. But like when you listen to LD songs, they are properly done. You, and even to date, LD's podcast, shout out to LD's podcast, that's the American Nigerian,
so sick,
so like amazing podcast, and he has this, you know, element of great production quality, which is obvious because he has designed a couple of stuff for a lot of people, Warner Bros, you know, the big guns in the US, Atlanta Firms. LD is a big boy, big man, in fact.
That brings us to that. I mean, that song by Big Boy is undeniable.
Yeah,
some of LD's biggest songs that I like, Agoyan.
Ah, that's a beautiful song. Agoyan was from Return of the King.
Yeah, Champion.
Champion. Return of the King.
You know, there is a Caribbean vibe to Champion. There's a Caribbean type, you know, dancehall type to the song, but it's still kind of rap. It rapped on the song, and then on the Undeniable album, there's this song I really love. We Made It, featuring Soulja. That's a very beautiful song. Some of the biggest songs made by LD also, Big Boy featuring Olumide, Bossy Bamba.
Bossy Bamba was a big one too.
Was a very
really big one.
Today, Wash.
Yeah.
I mean, big artists by any length in Nigeria. And of course, he has that legendary status.
True. There's no way you would talk about LD or talk about like the industry in Nigeria growing and not, you know, pinpoint the fact that people like LD were actually like the country is not complete. The country's sound documentary or sound,
of course, it's not complete.
Event is not complete without, you know, putting in LD.
Yeah, because somewhere he mentioned that he really wanted to create a new genre. I don't remember the title of the song. I think he's remade it. He said we want to create. His aim was to create a new genre. But before we leave the LD topic, I feel he gave all his best. Do you think there was more he could have done in the grand scheme of things right now? Especially because he was a label executive early enough. I feel he should be, even though he's in real estate in US now and doing other things like you said, don't you feel he deserves to be in the grand scheme of things now as a major executive in Nigerian music today?
True. I feel like if he had, like, I don't think he made any wrong decision, truthfully. That's me personally. I think LD did his,
when the time was right.
Yeah, he did his part. Like, you know, that's the way they say in drama, like, you leave when like everybody's out there. So basically, I think he did his part. He waited for a while, you know, checked around, and he saw that he did a lot of good things, like, he laid down foundations. Like, we wouldn't talk about it at length, but people should know that, you know, some of the artists we have today, it's because of some of the works that people like LD had done
early, because they took a risk to bring in a sound like hip hop. Early in the game when nobody was doing it,
and they were pushing it real hard because they were not, you know, stopping. They did the whole like bringing Nigeria element into the, like, they were not coming as would just do proper rap. Yeah. These guys could actually properly rap. Yeah. You get, they would properly rap in English because they were listening to the Nasses, the, you know, older guys, and they could come, the Malimas, the Rakims.
And Nas is not really older.
Yeah, Nas is not old, but Nas has been on since 96.
They were ahead.
Yeah, Nas has been on since 96, so you can't say he's not old. Nas is like spent over like 20 years.
Let's say 45, 46 now.
Yeah, he has spent over 20 years in the industry. Yeah, so that's like
early enough. I mean, he was a teenager when he was writing rhymes, man. So that's a topic for another
day. Yeah, right. So basically, like, I don't think we should call, because LD2 started very early too. But I mean, like, LD would say I could rap as well as Nas at some point.
Put me in the conversation.
Yeah, put me in that conversation as well. So
speaking of which, that's why some of us don't like when some people say, I just came up, nobody paved way for me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, yeah.
But some people took the risk to
open the way. Yeah, so like,
they won't take direct glory. It's not like they're taking your glory. You did your work to get there. But some people made some things early enough to make the industry. So let's just take a break now to listen to Sonya Spence Jet Plane snippets from the two songs, just for you to compare Sonya Spence's Jet Planes with LD's I'm Living, 23 years apart, just a tiny sample. This is the Sample Access podcast. We'll be right back.
Oh, sugar, how I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. It's 5 in the morning and I must go. See you around. All my bags are packed and ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. But the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, it's blowing its horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could cry. Kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'd never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go.
I don't know when I'll be back again. Better get this party started. Get it on, girl, get retarded. I'm leaving, I'm off to Yankee. I don't know when I'll be back again. Better get this party started.
All right, this is the Sample Access podcast, and you're welcome back. You just heard LD's sampling Sonya Spence's Jet's Plane, and as we played Jet's Plane first, and then we played LD's I'm Leaving next. So that's like great sound, and you can see that 23 years apart and sounded great and awesome. We're moving on immediately, and we're talking about the next pair that we're putting together, and this is a classic one. We ended with Nas before, so we're like picking up with Nas again right now. So Nas's One Mic with Lord of Ajasa's Eshalubade. I think Eshalubade is a classic.
I feel so too, because it reflected the times.
2008 to 2008.
It reflected 12 years ago what was
about to happen.
No, it reflected the Nigerian situation at the time. Talked about the Nigerian situation, which is still the same today. You hear Lord
sadly,
of Ajasa
sadly
saying things like Aimoye, I want to follow she business, don't you tell?
Yeah, Aimoye do she masters.
So,
that's a big line. That's
man,
a big line.
Speaking of Lord of Ajasa, my first introduction to Lord of Ajasa was the early days of Coded Tunes.
Yeah. Idi Kabasa. Shout out to Idi Kabasa, man.
There's a song titled Otiya.
I think
he featured Too Fast. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know
that
that's
song.
That's like, I think, although I feel like right now
we get many rappers, but see, before people started doing hip hop,
yeah,
especially in the Yoruba scene, Lord of Ajasa was way up. His flow was undeniable.
I'm ready to stand corrected, but I feel like Lord of Ajasa's introduction into the music scene birthed the idea of indigenous rap being accepted by Nigerians.
Yeah, for real, because Ajasa was already popping with
it was
even Nice.
Little songs.
Nice.
But 2008 was actually like the solid time for them.
Yeah. Nice Coded Tunes, Too Fast.
Wow.
These OGs were already hustling. There's a story about Nice.
But I think I think
Nice's, they would need new down to record. These guys were hustling.
Yeah, I think Nice's Gonga was 2008, right?
Yeah. But that's just to respect. I give him props.
Big man.
So this sample just came from, I think it was my idea.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but if you listen to the intro, just the intro of that Eshalobade, you will hear things like, all I need is one mic.
And in fact, I think one mic's or the original one mic, because the most popular one mic is the remix that added M-Tunes and Juicy Fruit to the beat. The original one mic sounds, I think the progression of the beat is very similar, or even the same thing. I mean, like, I'm ready to stand corrected, but it's the same thing as Eshalobade, but just a little bit of Naija feel being brought into it, like maybe changing a couple of kicks or, you know, sound approaching, but it's the same.
Are we saying that there same is a bedrock possibility that while Ajasa was saying all I need is one mic in the introduction,
you know,
of that
the beginning
song
of,
are we saying that
that's the beginning of one mic too?
Oh really? That means Heidi Kabasa, who produced the song,
probably may have,
I mean, we don't know this story, but we're just saying it's possible that he may have picked influence from Nas one mic. Speaking of one mic, has to be one of Nas's biggest songs.
It's not just one of Nas's biggest songs. In a list of 100 best rap songs that have ever been made, Nas's One Mic was given number 54.
Whoa.
So it's not just, Nas's One Mic is not just a rap record.
What is the special thing about that song?
First of all, the song was a sampled song as well, which is amazing. Sampled from In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Oh wow.
So, and that Phil Collins In the Air Tonight was a big song. In fact, Phil Collins In the Air Tonight was a beat sampled in Eminem's Stan. So that song had actually been sampled a couple of times. But I think Stan was 2002 or 3. But Nas's One Mic was 2001.
Yeah.
So basically, like, there's this particular thing about Phil Collins's In the Air Tonight. So apart from that being recorded now, then Nas talks about the fact that he needs just one mic to do everything. He doesn't need, you know, uses the B word. He doesn't need, you know, guns. He doesn't need all that. Yeah. So the song itself had like a whole lot in it. Like it was a proper song.
I saw a performance of that song recently on YouTube, and he kind of readjusted the line, and he said, all I need is two turntables, one mic, and you guys who are the fans.
Exactly.
And I can make, and that goes back to the skill set. I mean, if you're a skillful rapper, you don't need auto-tune.
True.
You don't need all kinds of bam bam dim dim. All you need is one mic, your skill as a rapper, and then you can make history. That's the thing about a one mic. So what can we, is there any more comparison to do between one mic
and a lot of
Eshalobade?
I think the approach of Eshalobade in terms of, okay, now this is no more sampling anymore, but the idea of the song is actually the same thing.
Okay.
You know, but just from different angles. The fact that, you know, Nas was saying, I don't need all this stuff, I just need one mic to be a certain way. And Eshalobade's like, okay, yo, regardless of all this stuff, you just need this to actually be somebody, you know, whatever you are trying to do. So there's this thing about, you know, having an idea of, okay, this guy uses an approach in this song, I could take it from this different angle. And then now there's now that beat in the beginning that sounds almost
that
the same,
actually nasty.
Or if it's and the same, the beat is actually,
I
really
hope
good.
Someday Heidi Kabasa gets all the props he deserves.
True.
Gongwaso.
True.
Eshalobade, if you listen to the way it sounds, it bangs.
I feel like I don't know, I'm giving a promise. I feel like at a particular time, whereas when we get to a certain level with this podcast, I would really like to have Heidi Kabasa just to have a conversation with him.
He produced Photocopy.
Come on, that man was
he was
on fire
at that time.
On fire.
Now, something about Eshalobade, there's a witty line that I just like to mention. It's a funny line. Eko Gbagbere Alibabama make she don't say yeah. And he referenced the president at that time.
Yeah.
Eko Sheo Uncle Shege.
These are flaws that I just, you know, messing me up.
Lord of Ajasa did a lot. That's why, I mean, it got to a point, he had to start changing from the extremely hardcore hip hop type shit.
Yeah.
And now doing, you know, Baraje with Rugged Man.
Yeah.
He did a lot of jumpy sounds.
Yeah, like jivey sounds, we call them.
With the sound. So true, which is, true. Which is, but respect to a lot of.
Yeah, respect. I feel
I
like
still have him on my bucket list of interviews.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's one of the person I would like to have a conversation with actually, because and just to give, because I just remember we talked about Eddie Cavassa. So for us to give proper props to the producers that actually produced all these songs, I just like take it like, you know, fast paced and just talk about all the producers. Sonia Spence's Jet Plane was produced by Sonia Potinga, big woman in the industry as at the 80s down to like 92 93. She was really big for the reggae guys, a lot of songs out there. Chucky Thompson was the one who produced Nas's One Mic, and Chucky Thompson was the one who produced Big Papa. Do you remember that song? Big, that's I love when you call me Big Papa. So Chucky Thompson was not like, you know, one low level or just
Speaking of producers, all these foreign producers, they are big. Scott Storch, is that it?
Yeah, Scott. Yeah, Scotch.
Scott.
Scott. Scott Storch. I think
that's Scott Storch.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know Scott Storch.
And Mike Dean too. Mike Dean. Big man.
I didn't know Scott Storch until I heard a Seriki song. Meanwhile, speaking of Seriki already knew. Seriki did a sample of 50 Cent 21 Questions. We'll get to that on another episode. So, there's a line by Seriki where he said, "Emiyato see Scott Storch." I just hit it like, yo, is that the same? And then I started checking about Scott Storch and I saw he produced a lot of 50 Cent jams. All of those big jams by and all of these big guys.
Yeah.
So we'll obviously be talking about producers a lot because they matter a lot to the industry. They matter a lot to the sample culture. They are like the brain box when it comes to sampling. So that's the package for today. Nelson, let's say our goodbyes.
All right. So thank you so much for listening. We want you to get back to us via our Twitter handles. Mine is at NWAENIE capital N.
Find me on Twitter at Buyiga_Adeoya, all small letters.
Turn my headphones.
Buyiga_Adeoya. It's been a good talk here. Of course, this will continue. We'll hope to see you next week with a new episode.
Alright, this is the Sample Access Podcast. We out.
All I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one person front, my face on the front page. Only if I had one love, one girl and one crib, one God to show me how to do things his son did. Pure, like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip would probably make me flip. See my name in the hieroglyphs, like Osiris and Isis, parables written inside papyruses, acknowledge it. We've been all tricked, time to come out of it. Seeds watch us grow up and try to. All I need is one mic. All I need is one mic.
Yeah. Shadow by the man. All those bling. Okay. Yeah. I like this. Yeah. All I need is one mic. One mic. Watch your body.
Alright. Mo fe gbe si, mo fe ju fling fling.
Shadow by the
Jini mo te pa mo se owo mi.
E sha lo bade.
A di pa se lo di rock all shoes around.
E sha lo bade.
Oluwa ti ba mi dawun si.
E sha lo bade.